Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hey everybody, welcome to Performance Anxiety, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mark, and before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, AKG, for sending us their Podcaster Essentials Kit. Incredible mic, the Lyra mic, wonderful headphones, they feel great, they sound great, and the whole package is the best quality, lowest cost to get into podcasting on your own. Today, I'm joined by the entirety of the band Catan. That means I have two people on the show this time. Nick Thornberry of Vatnet Viskar and Brett Boland of Astronoid have joined forces to create a death metal EP. And it's been a long time coming. It's a great talk about their history, the band name, and the effect of context on our perception of people and music. And maybe doing a Def Leppard covers album full of blast beats and death metal vocals. Self-titled EP with artwork by the renowned artist Travis Smith is out and available at catanband.com and all the usual places. Follow them on social media at catanband. Follow us at Performance ANX. Rate and review because more people find the podcast with good five-star reviews. And you can show us some love with a coffee at ko-fi.com/performanceanxiety. Merch exists at performanceanx.threadless.com, and you can buy some. I know you're all dying to hear this one, so let's get into it with Brett and Nick from Catan on Performance Anxiety, part of the Pantheon Podcast Network.
All right, go ahead, Nick.
Hey, I'm Nick.
This is Brett.
We're Catan, and we're, let's do that again. So let me think. We're Catan, listening to Performance Anxiety, or do you guys think... Grab our album at, check us out at catanband.com, and thanks for listening to Performance.
Album comes out
tomorrow?
Well, March. What is it? I did a really good job at the end last time, and I can't remember what I said, so.
No. I hate, like, it's
plugging,
necessary.
Shameless plugs?
Oh my god, sure. Just like social media, it's like. Such a time suck.
It's Catan Band, right?
You can Catan Band
on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Catan Band on everything, so I'll just say Catan Band.
I think I can. Catan Band on social media. Yeah, you got this.
Yeah. Okay. I can try this again. I think I'm ready. All right. Hey, I'm Nick.
And this is Brett.
And we're Catan. You can check us out at catanband.com, and you're listening to the Performance Anxiety Podcast. All right, cool. Oh yeah, that's great. I mean, the whole like it's like 3 minutes long. Yeah.
Brett, I understand that some congratulations are in order.
Yes. Yep. Baby here now.
Baby Bolin.
Yep, she arrived. I don't remember when.
It doesn't matter. It's not important.
They'll remind you eventually.
End of March. So,
oh wow.
But, no, it's going well. We're on like week 6 right now, and she's in a little bit of a moody part. So, oh my god, I'm covered in puke. I just looked at my shirt. This is why I'm not on video. I'm 6 weeks out, so I'm taking the same amount of time as my wife. And cool. So I'm home with her, and I'm just disheveled and so it's all good though.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, mine are 16, 17, and 18 now. So,
yep. So you are a lot of pretty well removed from the infancy stage.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now. I couldn't do it at this point. So God bless you.
Yeah. Well, Mailing and I are older for most, I would say on the older end for parents.
Yeah.
I'm 32. A lot of people have their kids and, you know, when they're in their mid 20s.
Yeah.
But it's getting older as time goes. Like, I think more people are waiting until
yeah.
they're a little older.
I mean, I was, when my oldest was born, I was 29, I think.
Yeah, around the same.
So my wife was, we've had like a 6-year difference. So she's 23, so.
Mm-hmm.
So she was in the normal area. I was a little on the older end of it, but.
Yep. My wife's older than I am, so.
Ah, look at you.
So she, yeah, but so we're on the, I don't think we could do it if we were like any older.
Or younger.
We'll see. Or younger. See, I yeah. think of the other way too. And like, I could barely keep my shit together now. Never mind yeah. if I were younger.
My dad was especially like 20 when I was born, and I'm like, no, thank you.
I couldn't even imagine. Like, I couldn't imagine like getting out of college and then having a kid.
Oh God,
you
no!
Know, unbelievable.
I couldn't take care of myself.
Yeah, I couldn't take care of myself until like, I don't know. I still can't take care of myself.
My wife takes care of me. I mean, I would yeah. literally be a wreck if it wasn't yeah. for her. I would just be a just walking nightmare.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you.
So, Brett, you've been on before. I don't know if you even remember, but it was
yep.
almost exactly
yeah,
a year
no,
ago. All right, cool.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I was listening to it today, try to get some my bearings with what we had spoken about. Because, and Nick, I sent you the link, but I don't know if you had enough time to listen to it. And it was, I know it was a little last minute, so I apologize for that.
Oh, I checked it out briefly. I skimmed through.
Okay. That's all you need, really. But what I like to do is kind of is to find out how you got into the whole music thing in the first place. Before we get too deeply into things, and we're going to do just a, I just want Brett to do just a brief little overview of things because we did a whole episode with you. So if anybody wants to hear about in depth about Brett, go back to Brett Bolin because to this day, it's still one of my favorite episodes we've done. I was listening to it again today and I was laughing out loud and I was there. So, listening to it, a couple things, my memory was jogged on a few things. I want to ask you this before we get too deeply into the new band, the new project that you're working on. First thing first, do you see a children's album anytime soon?
This was it.
This is
it. All right. Catan is it. No, probably not. Unless I feel really compelled in some sort of way. If anything, I've been trying to find like noise scapes for babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find the right white noise tone. So I might make my own and publish it to Spotify and have it loop correctly. Because none of them loop correctly.
Oh, really?
So maybe I'll do that. And that'll be my noise album. I'll say it's a noise album and it's literally just going to be white noise.
Brett's baby noise.
Brett's baby noise.
So, I was wondering if you'd ever gotten around to doing the covers of San Jacinto or Frame by Frame that we would.
I started them, but they're not good. So
that's what you said last time.
Yeah, I didn't really make any headway on it.
All right.
The Frame by Frame, so I really went hard on that Robert Fripp part, and, like, I can't play it. I can play it for, like, I don't know, a few times, and then after, like, 10, 20 seconds, I just lose it's like a tongue twister,
yeah.
That riff. That, like, really fast one in the background that just keeps going.
Yes.
I can't do it. I thought it was the bass. But it's Fripp, which actually made me feel a little better because I thought Levin was doing that on the bass. So it made me feel better it was a guitar. But, and then the San Jacinto one, it's just, it's, his tempo isn't perfect. So I have to like write it out. So I can't like plop it in Pro Tools and figure out the tempo and go over it. It's like, it fluctuates a little bit, or it's just, I can't figure out what the exact tempo is. So I don't know. I've had other things I've wanted to work on. So it's still, I'd like to do it, but one day I'll really sit down and try, like when I'm in between things.
Right now,
between Astronoid and Catan, I think I'm going to be busy for a little while.
And babies.
And babies.
So, Nick, I wanted to know a little bit about how you got into music, because since Brett's already been on, we kind of went down that road with him, and I don't know if he wants to go down that road again. We'll do a little overview in a little bit, and my dog started barking. That's great.
Yeah, mine was just doing that before.
Oh, God.
One of them.
Swear.
My baby's barking.
I should have seen that one coming. So, how did you get into music in the first place? I mean, was there a lot of music in the household? Or were you made to take lessons? I mean, how did the whole thing get started for you?
Well, I think generally it's like, really no one else in my family is a musician or anything. But my dad, it sounds stupid to say that he's just kind of like very into music, because I think most people are very into music. Yeah. But I don't know. It just like he was, like I said, he was younger. And so he was like listening to, when I was growing up, I was born in 86. So I was growing up with like grunge and like alt rock and all that stuff like that. And he was way into that. He's always been it's funny. My dad is still swears to this day. He's like, 90s are the best era for music ever. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. Totally. And I mean, but for me, it's nostalgia. It's like, you know, it's like, I'm, you know, a 35-year-old guy. So it's like, this is literally what I grew up with. So, it's funny. I find it funny too, that like some of the stuff, it's like, you know, you hear it played to death on the radio, just like, you know, like Nirvana or anything like huge like that.
Yep.
But then having some years away from it, and then in probably like the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, like kind of going back to that stuff and being like, this shit is the best music. Like all of that like 90s shit that was on the radio a lot of the times. Like, this is amazing. Like, you know, Alice in Chains is one of my favorite bands, you know. And then, like I said, I'm definitely biased because you know, it was my childhood, but it, like, as far as lessons and stuff, I actually tried starting to play drums like a little bit in like elementary school, but failed miserably at that. Never really practiced, never really tried that hard. My brother actually got a guitar at one point, like some pawn shop guitar, and I just started screwing around with it, and since then, I've been in one band or another,
okay.
mostly bad, until Vatnet Vizcar kind of, you know, right time, right place.
So Vatnet Vizcar is heavy, and I'm going to expose my ignorance of the genre a little bit. What kind of metal is that considered? Is that considered black metal or death metal? What would you consider?
I mean, we're definitely trying to be a black metal band, but like not like true Norwegian cult black metal. Like,
you were burning churches down and stuff.
No, like, I mean, you get the question like, oh, so are you guys like Satan black metal or Trees black metal? I'm like, oh, I think we're more on the Trees black metal side.
Trees.
But,
it was Trees black metal.
Yeah, but like there were a bunch of bands.
Woods and Trees.
Yeah, there was like I don't know, it was like right around that time, like I started, it's like I was in my like kind of like later teenage years and stuff like that. I was just into a lot of like metalcore and stuff like that. And I just kind of started slowly creeping down towards like listening to like At the Gates and this more like old Swedish death metal stuff and all this sort of stuff. And I just, you know, got in touch with one of my friends. I'm like, dude, we should start like kind of a like real metal, like black metal type band. And there was a lot of these really cool, really atmospheric US black metal bands around the time. So Wolves in the Throne Room was like probably my biggest influence there.
Okay.
That's the genre.
That's the genre. They are like that
US black metal.
US black metal, because it was like, but they, like, so much gets lumped into that.
Yeah, but
it's like Death Heaven does not sound like Wolves in the Throne Room.
No, but it's like US black metal is, it's like Wolves in the Throne Room and what is it? Come on. My favorite one.
Agalloch?
Well, Agalloch is in there. All the
I know
the
them. I like
from like Iowa and like what's
Slipknot.
Panopticon. Oh yeah, Slipknot. They're American black metal. Panopticon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that shit is, I would say, what...
Yeah.
Like, I think, like... Fatnet stemmed from.
It was like, just, that, like, a lot
that
of...
movement. It's that movement.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of, like, really weird... Yeah. Like, really weird, like, diverse, like, genre-bending, like, stuff going on in that U.S. black metal genre. And I think... So we'd get lumped into that all the time. And it's funny because I barely considered us black metal, especially by the time I left the band. But I didn't really give a shit. Like,
you just played the music you like.
Just like, I was like, we're like if the Deftones were a black metal band.
Yeah. I like that. I went back and listened, and I can almost understand that.
Happy.
So you sang and played the guitar for Vatnet, right?
Yes.
How did you guys come up with that name in the first place?
So it's Swedish. It means the water is whispering. And I think it was the guitarist Chris, one of his girlfriend's old like AIM names or something like that, okay. Way back. But we're like, that's obscure enough that no one will know this and that. And like, and honestly, I think when we started the band, like, we had been in bands, you know, forever, and no one expected it to kind of like take off like it did. So, and not like we hated the name or anything, but I think by the time we thought like, well, maybe we should change this to something a little bit easier to remember or something like that. It was already too late, and we're like, fuck it. Like, yeah. It's fine. Like, we just embraced it, you know?
I looked to me in research that you ended up at the end of the band's run there, you kind of just end up shortening it to Vatnet. Was that
so I left the band after the album Settler.
Okay.
We did like a bunch of touring on that, more touring on that, and then I left the band. Like, it was just kind of time to go back to real life for a little bit. Nothing. Yeah. No like major fallout or anything like that, no drama. Just I'm just like, you know what, I got a decent job offer, and I was like, I'm tired of doing this. It was like, we threw ourselves into it like 1,000,000%. Like, we were touring, I think in what, 4 years or whatever, we played like almost 400 shows. Like, it was,
whoa.
It was like a lot of like really bad shows, some really amazing shows, like some of the best times in my life, like stuff I'm eternally grateful for, but that I never thought I'd get to do. But I would look at some of these bands who had been together for 10 years and were not really any further than we were or something like that, and we'd already been at it for like 5 or 6. I'm like, I don't think this is worth that. Like, I love doing this, but like, I don't think I can personally maintain this lifestyle for that long.
I mean, it's not easy. It's
oh no. And yeah, so they did, so they, yeah, right after that, because we had talked about kind of shortening the name, so after I left, they, it was obviously a different, whole different thing.
Yeah,
so they shortened the name. And then Casey from Astronoid was also in Vatnet.
Right.
Played bass, so he took over singing, and like actually singing, and they kind of changed the style up, and that was that.
So that brings me to my next point. It seems to me that Vatnet and Astronoid really been in the same orbit for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
How did you guys meet each other in the first place?
Brett, you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. So I was working at Apple as a specialist, like salesperson.
Okay.
And Matt worked there as well, our drummer, and who was the original drummer of Vatnet Viskar, and Alan, the original bass player of Vatnet. And they were looking for someone to mix their demo. So they had a bunch of, they brought the demo in. They're like, hey, whoever wants to mix it, like, give it a shot.
Whoever wants to mix this terribly recorded demo.
Yeah. And I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. And they gave it to like two other people at Apple. Because we're all like, I was in school for sound recording and all that at the time.
Yeah.
And so I did it and they liked it. And then that was it. Like I was good friends with Matt. I was good friends with Alan. And then I met Nick and Chris at a 4th of July party at Nick's house.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And, that was the first time I ever met Nick. And it was one of those parties that I think it's the 4th of July party.
I think maybe
that we all point back to. It, you know, it's just one of those parties that it was a lot of fun. We were pretty young. We're all like either we're in college or right out, so it was right at the prime shitheadness.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was great. But we just kind of garnered a relationship from then on, because I was in a band, Hetfield, and with Casey.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Dan was in it then, but he may have been. We ended up working together on the demo, and then I recorded and mixed the first EP, and then I recorded and mixed Sky Swallower for Century Media, and then they moved on to work with someone else after that, which was totally fine.
Right.
So we had a good working relationship, and we were really good friends. And our bands went on tour together once, and then once Astronoid started getting a little foothold in late 2012, we did some shows together. And it's just sort of like we were just around the same time. Our bands played shows together all the time. Like we had the same group of friends. So it was just like, yeah. And it became this incestuous cesspool.
Yeah, Britt actually played bass for a tour also.
Yeah, the bassist. I think he left, or I forget what happened.
I don't remember.
Yeah, so the bassist left after the recording, and I was like, "Oh, I'll do the tour," you know, because I know all the songs. I've just listened to them for a fucking month.
And it was with Internaut, so it was at least it was a cool.
Yeah, it was a cool. I met Sasha and those guys, and they're all really nice and. Yeah, so it's been a really cool relationship that Nick and I have had through the years, and we're just at this point where, like, just really good friends, and it's about time we started, you know, actually making some music together.
So this new band was almost inevitable then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Brett, you're actually playing drums and bass on, and from the last time you're on, I've discovered that you actually consider yourself more of a drummer than a guitar player, but you play guitar and sing in Astronoid.
Yeah, isn't it disgusting?
It is.
Isn't it annoying? Like, stop it.
Little bit.
I mean, I shouldn't say that because, like, I need a drummer.
Yeah,
yeah. I need a drummer too. So
Brett could be his own one man band at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times Brett sends me like, "Oh, I've been working on this demo song of this or that," just like whatever random metal or random whatever thing. I'm just like, dude, like, my demos are like shitty quality guitar record tracks, like that I have to send to you to make even sound like remotely listenable.
And Brett's just these finished pieces.
Yeah. He's like, I was like, "Oh, don't mind the sloppiness." Or he'll send me a demo. It's like, "Oh, don't mind the sloppiness." I'm like, dude, this, you can release this.
You know,
like, I can barely play the guitar parts in my demos.
It's really making me wonder how bad these covers that he's keeps procrastinating on are.
That's a good
question. I don't know. Maybe they're great. I don't like them. But yeah, no, I liked, I went to school for drums and I studied drums and percussion for a long time. And like, that's where I'm fluent on that instrument. Like, I feel fluent there. You know what I mean? Like, it's like speaking English to me. which I'm still not very good at, but it's nice. I can just not think and I can play, and like that's it. And guitar, I'm very comfortable with at this point, but yeah. I still, it's not where I can just do what I think, and I can do that on the drums. So that's where I feel most comfortable. And it's nice getting a chance to do that like full time in a band, because I write most of the drum parts for Astronoid, but right. I don't get to play them. So.
Yeah, one of my teenage metalcore, hardcore bands had like a reunion show, I think probably a few years ago now at this point, and they're like, oh, we need someone to play drums. The kid who played drums can't do it. And I was like, oh, let me see. I was like, Brett, you interested in doing this? And I was like, and they didn't, none of those guys really knew him. So I was like, well, just wait and see.
Yeah.
And it was, it worked out well.
Yeah. It was fun. It was pretty funny though. I don't think they were expecting, because I've toured around the world playing drums, and I don't think exactly. They're quite ready. It was pretty funny though. And we had a lot of fun, and I think it made, like, I think it was exciting for them of how serious I took it, and like how, you know, it was just a lot of fun. Like, well, that show was really cool.
It's really odd for me personally to think about it, because I got introduced to you through Astronoid, where you're playing guitar. So in my mind, you're always a guitarist and a singer, not a drummer and a bassist.
Isn't that strange how I find that works, like with like just age and stuff too? Like, so I think Brett and Casey are both like a tiny bit younger than my younger brother. Okay. So like a couple years younger than me, but I met them as adults. So to me, it's like, they're my peers. They're my adults.
Right.
They're adults. And like my brother is like my younger brother. So it is crazy how like much the context you meet someone in determines your outlook of them kind of forever.
It really does. I'm listening to the EP and I don't know how you guys play that kind of, like, I mean, the drums are insane, but I'll get into that in a minute. Cause I wanted to know which of you guys brought the idea to do to start a band to the other one. Was it like a mutual thing, or would one of you finally say, let's just do this?
So I think this was kind of a very natural like progression of things. Like, I had always planned on still writing something after I left Vanaviskar, just because I like doing it. It's like a cathartic, like it just feels good. And then, you know, if it could get released or I could release it myself, like, great. You know, awesome bonus. Cause like, I don't plan on dropping everything and touring full time again. You know, I want to play shows again for sure. I can't at this point in my life, it's not going to be like my job now, you
right.
know, but
yeah.
So I was writing these songs kind of like over time, and it was just not even a question of like who I was going to bring them to, like, hey Brett, I need drums. I need drum parts and I need you to record this. And it kind of just like, just went from there. Like, he was into it first, which is the first step. I'm like, oh, does this stuff suck? He's like, he liked it. So and just kind of over the course of recording the EP and you know, Brett doing his production, and just, you know, like just acting like, I mean, obviously he's great at recording, it's great at drums, but like just as a producer too, like adding hey, that we need a little guitar flourish here, we need this here, we need that, was like invaluable. And then I think by the end of that, we're like, let's just make this official, that like this is a band that's the two of us now, and go from there. So I think like in the future it'll probably be more diverse songwriting, like from between the two of us. Like, you'll probably see more stuff from Brett, I think, as far as guitar parts and stuff like that.
Okay.
Too.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So the band was conceived basically as a duo then.
I think yeah. It was just conceived. I think it was just going to be you. Like, the whole thing from the beginning was like, I was going to support whatever Nick's idea was, you know? So like, okay. I didn't want to really participate in, I was going to like creatively, I was going to participate, but like not in terms of like writing. Like, I wanted him to write it, and I wanted him to do his stuff, and I wanted whatever I added to it to be his vision, like not my vision.
Okay.
And then as we kept going in the process, we kept that in mind. And then I would say towards the end of the mixing, mastering stuff, it's like, hey, you know, because we started talking to Prosthetic, and we started talking about just releasing this stuff, and it's like, you know, like, let's just keep doing this. and just keep it going together. And it doesn't, it, you know, it makes sense for me. Like, there's no strings attached, and, you know, it's just, let's just put it on paper that it's going to be us, and then we can just continue this. Like, yeah. Why not? It's fun, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it just went really well, and we both enjoyed it, and said we've been friends for a long time, so it's nice to work together. And
but yeah, it was a duo since we, once we started, once we realized we wanted to start recording, we decided we wanted it to be a duo, and just the two of us, just, you know, just less cooks in the kitchen. And we've both been in bands, and having to deal with, you know, more personalities, and sometimes it's, you know, it gets in the way, but it's nice having all the input and all that stuff. But it's,
yeah, it has its benefits and drawbacks, it's nice for sure.
That it's, I think it's particularly just Nick and I that is good. Like, I don't know if a duo would be the right move if it weren't just, if it weren't him. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we have all the bases covered now, and we're not touring all the time, we're not doing all that, so it like works out perfect. Like, even if this was just a studio project, it would be very easy to maintain that just the two of us,
right?
You know,
were there any thoughts of playing live as Catan?
Yeah, we will at some point, for sure. Like, obviously, so I mean, I think we recorded this stuff, like, it's been a while. So I think, like, what, summer of 2019, Brett, maybe? I mean, it was like over,
yeah,
it was a few hours away from me now, so it's kind of like, we kind of like take a weekend and do some stuff, and then, okay, you know, Brett would mix, and then et cetera, et cetera. But it was kind of like after we had it recorded and finally like ready, and then we got it mastered and stuff, and we were kind of planning on self-releasing, yeah, but figured, Steve at Prosthetic was at Century Media when VetNet was there, and he had signed us. So I just sent it to him. Like, I he's an awesome guy. He's one of the only guys that, like, I kind of like stayed in touch with from back in VetNet days. So I was like, hey, you know, just check it out. Let me know if you like it. And he liked it. And I mean, here we are with that. But it, the whole process of like the signing and then like getting vinyl produced, and which is still delayed, and like all this stuff. It's just like it takes a long time. So we've had this stuff in the bag for a while.
I think we'd like to play it live when it's the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have the opportunity to put on a show that we really would like to do, in terms of, you know, like the production quality. So we'll see. And we'll see who's involved.
I was going to say, would that require expanding the band a little bit to...
Yeah, we'll get some friends.
Yeah, we have a very talented group of friends around us, so I think that's not a problem, luckily.
Right.
But like we've said, like too, like we don't, and it's nothing against like small shows, basement shows, anything like that. We grew up with that. We love that. But like this is that band. This band will never do that because we don't want to do that.
It's
going to be like, right? Well, and it's not. I don't even want to even be like that we're above that or anything like that, because I'm fine with that. I did the grind. I'm fine with doing the.
We are,
you know,
not above it.
Yeah. Right. But like, you know, but it's just like, that's just not what we want to do with this band. Like, we want to, if we play live, we want it to be, like Brett was saying, a certain level of production. I said, like, to read interviews with, I've probably said this a million times, read an interview with like Ghost, where there was a quote where him saying like, we were a band for 2 years before we announced we were a band. And I was like, that is awesome, because like they got their shit together before, and that is super inspiring to me. And I was like, yep, everything with this band has to be perfect before it does anything, basically.
Okay.
So the same thing with live shows. Like, we won't play a live show until we're damn well ready. But I definitely want to. There's nothing like that feeling for some reason. it's just great. So that's the plan.
And you said you recorded all this stuff in the summer of 2019, and it's May of 2021. Was there a reason for the delay? I mean, was it pandemic related, or was it just legal stuff with the label?
I think it was everything. It's kind of general life, too.
Hold on. Let's go through the timeline here. So I'm pretty sure we recorded it. Oh, I'll tell you right now. Maybe I won't. My computer's shooting its pants. So, Nick, yeah, what the hell's going on? I just built this thing and it's a pain in the butt. So, say we recorded it then. We basically recorded it around that time. And then in 2019, Astronoid had a bunch of shows in October with Coheed. And then we went to Europe. And then the world shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were all like, what the fuck is going on? And I probably mixed it around that time. And it took me probably a couple months because we were, you know, we had no fucking clue what was going on. So say right. what? So we mix, I finished mixing this probably, what, in the spring?
Yeah.
Last probably. Year. And then we sent it out for mastering. And then we got artwork. And then we sent it to the label. Or we started basically what we wanted to do with the label, you know, and that takes time. And then once we signed the deal, it takes about like 6 months.
Yeah, I think
we submitted like, this in December, right?
Probably. And I think like we weren't generally in like a rush to get it out either. Like, because I know we're both very busy with work at the time and stuff like that. Brett's got Astronoid. Now Brett has, you know, there's like, I think my goal with this also is like to not kind of let it ruin our lives in a way that a band can easily do. Yeah. So I think that's kind of important for me to keep in mind. But not like we're not putting everything we have into it. It just might take a little longer.
Right. How did you guys come up with the name Catan? I'm thinking, I started looking at, trying to figure it out myself. What I came up with, and I'm pretty sure this is wrong, is that it's either a star in the Star Trek universe that died out 1,000 years ago, or a hyperactive actor from the SNL days in the late 90s who played
that one.
Mr. Peepers.
They're both just as lame.
but it is the Star Trek one.
Yeah.
Believe it. So it actually is a reference to that Star Trek episode.
Nice.
Yep. I'm a huge nerd, sci-fi nerd. I was just kind of like, before this got kicked off, like going through rewatching all that, and I saw this episode. That show in general, like kind of Star Trek in general, I always thought, as cheesy and outdated as it is and stuff like that, there's some really kind of like depressing like weight behind a lot of those episodes, or like the concepts and stuff. And that episode where it's like Picard has to, he lives this whole other life in his mind, basically. And then like wakes up from that and is like, oh, that wasn't real. So, and that like kind of carries on like in like other mentions throughout the series and stuff like that. And like, yeah, and it's a star that died. So I'm like, that's super depressing,
right.
Which is where I like to be with my music stuff for whatever reason. Cause generally I'm not like that in like everyday life, but I don't know. Artistically, I like the really dark stuff. And it was kind of just like a cool random word. And that was the first time I was like, oh, that's actually kind of a cool name for a band. We'd thought about like, once like all the prosthetic stuff was coming through and stuff, we're like, oh, should we change it? This, that, whatever. And then we could not come up with anything that we liked better, basically. Right. It's really hard to come up with a band name.
Yeah.
It sucks and I hate it. Like the process of trying to come up with one, but I'm happy with it. And, I guess if people don't like it, that's tough shit for them.
Hey, you know, it could be a lot worse. I mean, you could have called the band Mr. Peepers or Doug Butabi.
Yes. Yes,
Corky exactly. Romano.
Our first album, That It, The Roxbury.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was it? Bury Your Dead with all the Tom Cruise movies.
Oh, man. I can't remember.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to look that
they
up.
Had, like, they had like... Hold on, I got it right here.
They have everything like a, right there.
I'm like that dude like in the crime shows that have
enhanced.
Yeah, I'll find that. Yeah, cover your track.
Computer.
The album, and then Top Gun, Vanilla Sky, Mission Impossible, Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh yeah, that's
Outsiders.
Right.
There's even a song called Mission Impossible 2.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we had to do another interview recently, and the guy asked, he's like, so are there other like Star Trek references and stuff? And we're like, no, this is not a Star Trek band. This is not like that. So that was the one thing about the name that I'm like, because I'm like, I don't want people to think I'm like a, you know, or like a Star Trek. But like when we were thinking about the name and stuff like that, Steve at Century, I was running it by him and stuff like that. He's like, I like it. And he's like, what? You think like Star Wars fans aren't going to like it? Because it'd be like, fuck you, Trekkies. I'm like, and I'm not even a Trekkie. I just
just thought it was cool. But I'm like, that's a good point, though. Like, no one cares.
If it's not Alderaan, no one's gonna care more than we
do, basically.
You should have named it Alderaan.
Yeah, right.
It's like the only planet I can remember from Star Wars. It's the one that exploded, I think, right?
Yes, that's true.
I don't know. I wish they just all exploded. There was no movie.
Yeah, I find myself, it's weird. When I was a kid, I was a way bigger Star Wars fan. And then as I got older, I was more into like Star Trek and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know why, like, maybe it's because it deals slightly more with like veiled real life things. There's something like I definitely like much better about it, where Star Wars is basically just kind of like a space opera, which is fine if you like that, whatever. Yeah. But find myself less and less interested by the day.
Yeah, I'm finding myself less and less interested in both of them. I used to love Star Wars. When the first one came out, I was like 4. And my dad took me to see it as like a matinee or something. I remember that was the first movie I ever saw. And I loved
That's
it.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but the new Star Wars movies suck.
They're awful.
They're so bad. We're not going to get into this.
No, I don't. This isn't a Star Wars podcast. See, there's plenty of those.
I could go right on. I could make
other more depressing sci-fi things.
Is there an overarching theme to the songs on the EP?
This EP, I would say not. Besides like kind of the general nihilistic depressiveness
being depressed,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Other than that, because this was my first like songs I've kind of put together in a few years now, and it's kind of just finding our sound, finding our feel, this and that. So I think like I already have some ideas for an album, kind of to make it more cohesive lyrically and stuff like that. But this one, I mean, ranges from anything just from like straight up nihilism to bad dreams to wanting to be remembered to let's see, and what is processor about? Vague imagery. So some of the lyrics are kind of intentionally vague. Like it could be literally be like I have a picture in my head and just trying to describe that or come up with some kind of narrative around that, or okay, like honestly, even like a show or a movie or something I watch, but not even about that, but like some feeling or image that evokes and that I like and latch onto and try to come up with my own thing around that. It's writing lyrics is really, really it's definitely the most difficult part of it for me. Like
I hate it.
It sucks, man. Like I don't like, I say this in like a, you know, I love life and everything like this, but I don't really care about a lot of stuff that I, like to the point where I want to write a song about it. I don't want to be a political band. I don't want to be a cheesy, stupid, you know, like a meaningless lyric band either. Right. So it's like, literally there was a song in Vatnet I had, and basically the lyrics were about how I hate writing lyrics. There was a line like,
what song is that?
It was called Mythos. Called like, there's like a line, it's like searching for the fading line between idiocy and grandeur, and I'm like, yep, that's it, because like I don't like writing.
I love that. That is like, that is a very eloquent version of one of my favorite quotes from Spinal Tap, where they say that there's such a fine line between clever and stupid.
Yeah, well, thank you. And yeah, it's like exactly, it's basically, it's exactly the, like I, it's really hard to
ride that line, because like it's funny because I a lot of bands like I love, and I'll read their lyrics, and either they are making a statement or they are kind of cheesy, and 90% of the time, like, oh, this is great, I love it. But for whatever reason, like, I can't allow myself to do that. Yeah. It's just not me. I need to like stay in this one space, which makes it way harder on myself. But I have been generally happy with the results, I would say, like for lyrics and stuff like that. Like, usually at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, that was cool. Like, I like that. I can't believe I actually thought of that. So great.
Yeah, sometimes you get something good.
Well, you mentioned Processor, and that's my favorite track off the EP. I love that song.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
And the drums are insane. I swear, Brett, I don't know how you or any other drummers honestly really keep up that pace for an entire album, for an entire show, if you have to play it live. It's just, they're relentless, and they're fast, and they're powerful. It's like every song is like, sounds like you've just run a marathon.
I will say, I went down to Pitts for a weekend when we were recording drums, and he's like, I didn't go to the gym this week to prepare for this. And I think I might have some clips somewhere, or maybe I don't, but like just of when we finished drums, of Brett basically barely being able to walk.
Oh, God.
It is. It's like running a marathon. And the thing is, I think recording it is way harder than playing it live, just because you have to hit so much harder. Like, I'm an engineer first and a drummer first. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in both chairs, and I know how hard I need to hit to get the sound that I want on the record. So it's like, it sucks. And I'm really happy with how the drums came out. I think they sound really cool, and they have a lot of they're very natural, but also very like bombastic and not really clean, like Astronoids. Okay. And because I do the same, I record all the Astronoid stuff with Dan. So it was cool to take a new approach and be like, I want this to be raw and huge and not perfect, but as perfect as I can make it, you know, to relative to the, you know, aesthetic that we're going for. And I think we got it.
And we also, like, to show Brett's production skills, we also recorded the drums in like a corner of his apartment.
Oh,
and he got them to sound like that.
Wow.
I live in a pretty cool apartment, though. It is
Yeah, but is it good for recording? It's all like concrete.
No, probably not. I live above a machine shop, so it's like a loft. And what do you think? 15-foot ceilings, Nick? Metal roof and probably 15-foot ceilings. So it's big, and wow. it's about 1,500 square feet, and it's like pretty much all open except for two bedrooms. So they're set up in a corner. And I got it all mic'd up, and it's pretty good, you know, better than most apartments.
Out of any apartment drums I've heard, those are the best.
Yeah, they gotta be some of the best, because there's no one above us, no one's below us half the time. If they are, they're working and they don't give a shit.
Probably
so we
hear you
did
anyway.
It over the weekend, right, Nick? And there was nobody around.
Yeah,
and
I think we just did it. Like, I went down on a Friday night or something, and we just got the drums done Saturday, Sunday, and I left. And that was it's like, it's funny because like it never concerned me about doing it in the apartment, because I'm like, oh, I know, Brett, yeah, he'll make it sound good.
Brett's in charge,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Or he'll tell me that it sucks and like we need to go somewhere. Like, either way, like Brett demands like a certain level of perfection for this stuff. And I guess, you know, if it sounded like really bad, maybe I would have said something, but I don't think I have that ear for that stuff like Brett does.
I think if it were really bad, you know what? You may have been nice to me. Like, yeah, man, like, I trust Brett's ear, but it sucked. Like, maybe that's what it is, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they are bad.
Maybe they are bad. Maybe it sounds like shit.
So is this the precursor to a full-length album?
Yeah, definitely. So Brett has been like obviously pretty busy lately with child and Astronoid stuff and stuff like that. But I've been kind of like writing stuff in the background, probably 90% of which will just get thrown away. But I think there's at least a few songs in there that I really like.
and Brett's been working on some stuff too, which is great. So it's like, because like I was saying, now having Brett like writing some guitar stuff too is great. So it's going to be super interesting and fun to see like where that lands as far as, I'm very excited. But yeah, there will definitely be a full length. When we'll see. Hey. We'll see. It takes a while, obviously, but yeah.
The EP just came out. You know, we can't rush things.
Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna take our sweet time.
Well, and you both have other commitments going on, so, and babies and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's funny. Yep. It's like I've never been like, I finally have like a real like grown up job, and I'm super busy with that like a lot of the time and stuff like that. I'm like, man, this is a lot harder like doing this band stuff, like serious band stuff, when you're also working a full time job. Like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's tough.
One of the other things I really enjoyed was the artwork. Who did the artwork for the EP?
This guy Travis Smith Steve Aesthetic suggested that we talk to, and
nailed
we could
it.
Not be happier. Yeah, it was like it came out perfect. Like, we sent him a few examples of stuff we liked, like, hey, we like this, this, and this, but obviously we don't want it to be exactly the same.
Right.
Here's the EP, here's the kind of general concept of it, this kind of dystopian sort of sci-fi depressing sort of thing. And he was awesome like through the whole process, just sent me like 30 different like options. Oh, hey, do you want us to go in this direction or this direction? And then like more updates this way or this way. Do you like this? Do you like that? And it was just so into it and so on top of everything. And I was like blown away. I'm like, this guy's done like some serious shit. Like,
yeah. Still life.
And yeah.
All of the Blackwater Park. He did fucking all of the Death, Sound of Perseverance. Like, there's this guy's done some of the most iconic metal artwork ever.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, like, it didn't even really hit me until it was done of like, man, like, this is like the Travis Smith.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
have more praise for the guy and like the process. Like, it's obviously nice to work with. It's not always 100% necessary, but always nice when people you're working with are actually into the project. Right. And like, you can tell that easily, I think. And he was definitely into it, and that just made me feel a million times better. And then by the time we got the end result, I was like, holy shit, like, this is like, I could not have like dreamed this up better myself. Like, this is perfect.
Good suggestion, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Like, because I think he suggested him once, and we're like, we're gonna talk to this guy or whatever. And you know, first guy we talked to was like, oh, well, you know, I can do this painting, it's gonna be $4,000. I'm like, well, guess what, we don't have $4,000.
And not only that, I think his work was way better, Travis.
In the end of the day, it worked out perfectly. Like, I am sorry we didn't go with him sooner, basically.
Yeah. How did that, I guess maybe you just kind of answered it, but I was just kind of curious, in this kind of situation, is the label making suggestions, or are you telling them who you want to work with? I guess maybe just generally.
It's like, we needed artwork, and we didn't really have anybody, so we asked him. Like, Steve has been really good about being, you know, helpful in that regard. Like, we had a mastering engineer, so we were good there. There's like, I like working with God, why can't I remember his name? Magnus Lindberg. Thank you. He's great. He's done the Asteroid album. He did. I recommend him to everybody, and Dan uses him for his mastering stuff that he does with bands. So he's great, and I knew I wanted to work with him. So that was easy.
Yeah, it's kind of like I think we got really lucky with this stuff too. Is like, I think both like Magnus and Travis like were like, well, we'll definitely work with them next time, because they were both so great to work for. So, and like, yeah, it's like the label is, you know, and specifically like Steve, he's, you know, very experienced within the music industry and all that stuff. He has a lot of contacts. He has all this stuff. So that's, I feel grateful to kind of have that resource. Because I know not everyone, like, I think about this all the time. Like, I would have murdered someone to be in this place, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. Yeah. But like, and it's funny how fast you can like, not take it for granted isn't the right term, but kind of like,
to see past that. Like, you're just always looking for the next thing. Like, it's not, yeah. And it's not like an ungrateful thing. It's just, you know, you always want to be moving forward, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to stop and smell the roses sometimes, you know, just in any part of life. So
wisdom.
It's pretty
wise
nice
words.
Having someone like Steve. And, you know, we've worked pretty hard at this for a long time.
Yeah.
So
that's also
nice. It's nice. Having people, the ones who have stuck around are the ones that we wanted to. You know, they're the nice ones. They're the ones that are, you know, good people. And we've been fortunate to surround ourselves with good people.
Yeah, I think that was another part of this kind of being like, we're in no rush to get this out. We're in, you know, we want this to, like, this is what this is going to be. It's going to be like 100% what we want it to be. And we won't accept anything less than that, or it just doesn't come out, or we self-release it, or we do whatever. And so kind of like relieving that pressure was awesome, and it's allowed us to, you know, it's a lot less stressful. And even from this point on, right, like, I mean, kind of like I'm super happy with it. Like, whatever happens happens. Like, I want us to do well, obviously, but I'm just happy. I'll never stop writing music, and I think like we both really like doing this, so yeah, just happy to be able to kind of have a platform for it.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I've been listening to it all day today, been doing my research for you guys, and just really getting to know some of your back catalog too. So it's really, really interesting, because that's not a path I go down a whole lot. So it's really interesting to open myself up to some new music. So it's been really cool. And one thing, based on my last conversation with Brett, I think one thing you guys should consider is doing an EP. Another EP, but Def Leppard covers.
We both definitely like Def Leppard a lot.
Yeah. So. I'm
fine with that.
I think Catan,
but in the style of Catan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I think that would be brilliant.
Brett, you might have to do the singing for that.
Yeah, no. If we're doing this in the style of Catan, we are. It's gonna be a lot of blast beats, and no one's gonna even know. It's photographed.
Def Leppard blast beats.
One of the first comments from one of our friends about the Catan stuff versus the Vatnet Viskar stuff, because a lot of our friends aren't really like black metal fans or anything either.
Okay.
It's like, oh man, I'm glad you guys, this is like less blast beats. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, it is what it is.
Well, guys, thank you guys so much for spending some time and talking about the album. It's, I always enjoy having Brett on. Nick, it's been great getting to know you and meeting you and learning a little bit about your history. I'd love to have you guys back on at some point together, individually, do a show about Def Leppard, whatever you guys want.
No, likewise, been great. It's been great doing talking to you, and it's I'm excited. Hopefully we'll have an album in the future and we can do this again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And is there a social media presence where the people can follow you guys?
Yeah, all of them, unfortunately.
I did a really good job at the end last time, and I can't remember what I said, so I
hate, like, it's plugging, necessary.
Shameless plugs.
Oh my God. Just like social media. It's like such a time suck.
It's Catan Band, right? You can
Catan Band
on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Catan Band on everything. So I'll just say Catan Band. I think I can.
Catan Band on social media. Yeah, you got this.
And you guys have a website, or what's the best place to buy the album?
So yeah, our website, catanband.com.
Okay.
We've got all the links there and the link to buy it. Cause it's like there, you're actually buying it, through our store instead of like label store, which is, nice, but obviously whatever.
Yeah.
We're both fortunate enough to not be in a place where we like need the band to survive at this point, like I have in the past. So
kill us. No, but seriously, buy it.
Yes, but please.
Please buy it.
We'll be right back. 92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.